Welcome to Rough Life. I am still super sorry that last week's mini transport episode was so long. So I'm going to get right into it this week so it isn't as insanely long. The theme is hockey, and that is because this group of animals will be used for our annual CAPS calendar that we do with the hockey team. It is a super big deal, and we are super honored that we get to be a part of it every year. They are amazing supporters of ours, and we are just so thankful for them. That being said, I am extra thankful for them because we weren't even supposed to have this transport. It only got added because they needed animals for the photo shoot. So I got to do one of my very favorite things in the whole entire world, and that is go puppy shopping. All of my other litters were too little for this transport and are scheduled for later ones, or they're getting bumped up from a later transport and getting to go earlier and go on this one. But I still had several empty spots that I needed to fill, and they told me to find the cutest puppies that I could. So I sent out an APB to all of my rescue partners to find me the cutest of the cutest for this van. I love that we're typically very organized and we have a waiting list of who is lined up to go on the next transports. And when people contact us, it's nice to be able to say, we're full right now, but we can take them in 3 weeks or whatever. But this was so fun last week, being like, oh, you have cute puppies you need help with? Oh, okay. How about I take them for you next week? When everyone around us is either full on a super long waiting list or just completely closed down right now. So this was just a nice little change of pace for us after a very long and exhausting puppy season. Anyways, on to the stories. Alexander Ovechkin, first of all, God bless Jenny. She's the one who did the names for this transport because I know hockey and puck. Those are like the only hockey names that I know. Thank you, Jenny, for giving this puppy a name that I can pronounce, because we all know she could have given me a name I 100% would have butchered. Alexander, or Roadrunner, as he is fondly known down here, was hit by a car a few weeks ago. He is only 8 weeks old, so he was just barely 6 weeks old when it happened. Someone saw him get hit on her way to work, and she stopped and picked him up on the middle of the road. She posted him on Facebook that she was on her way to work. She had no money for vet bills, but that she would drop him off at a vet's office if someone, anyone, would help cover the bill. Now, if you know me or you've listened to my introductory episodes, you know that 7 a.m. is the butt crack of dawn for me. Right now, it is 4:30 in the morning, the day of transport. I will go all night. I am not a morning person. And unfortunately, motherhood has not made that any different, as my baby loves to sleep in until noon every day. However, I just happened to be awake about 6 minutes after she posted this bloody puppy picture on Facebook. So I texted our rescue partner, Hope, and I sent her the screenshot since it was posted in the group that she manages. I think I asked her if she knew anything about it or something like that, and she said, no, do you want him? And I was like, yeah, I'll take him. And I promise you, it was not 30 seconds later, literally not even enough time for my message to be delivered to her phone, her read it, and have enough time to reply, when she was like, okay, he's yours, I just talked to the girl. Amazing. So the girl dropped him off at one of our vet partners, updated the Facebook post saying like what vet he was at and that people could call in donations there, and the vets got to work assessing him. Meanwhile, I go back to bed. By the time I woke up, Roadrunner was stable on heavy-duty painkillers, fluids, had had an x-ray done to determine that he had a broken jaw, and he had gotten over $700 in donations called in for him, all while I slept a few more hours. He ended up staying the rest of the time at the vet clinic until transport because the vet techs just loved him, and they would take him home at night and take care of him. He would be staying there even longer, but luckily our own vet tech slash adoption coordinator, Jenny, also fell in love with him and asked if he could be brought up early so that she could take over his care. It's always so wild to me how these terrible, horrible things happen to these animals. And because of that, they get the best life ever in Virginia. Like, I'm sure if they could think like this, they'd be thinking like, getting hit by that car was the best thing that ever happened to me because I ended up at Jenny's house, who's going to make sure I only go to the best of the best adopters. That's so crazy. The S litter of two are from our newer shelter partners. Well, actually, if you listened to the Sadie Story episode, this is the same shelter that I was banned from ever stepping foot in again. But spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, that director got fired and replaced, and the new director quickly worked to rebuild their relationship with us. However, they then had a distemper outbreak and then a parvo outbreak. So we've been a little scared of them ever since. But it's been about 2 years since the distemper and almost a year since the parvo incidents. So we are crossing our fingers and starting off slow. This is also one of the main shelters that Dr. Burton would do rotations at. She would have to go in and just mass euthanize hundreds of puppies every week. And then she started the spay and neuter mobile at the vet school here, and she would come through and fix a bunch of them with the students and then come back a few weeks later and euthanize them until she started Wolf Trap. So they have known us and loved us for years, and that's why the whole Sadie situation was just so crazy to me. Anyways, none of that has anything to do with the tea litter of two. But the shelter is trying so hard to clear out some room to make space for the hundreds that are still on their intake wait list. So they were very thankful that we were able to take these two and get them out of the shelter. They were actually a litter of three. There was another one in the litter, but just this week, like 3 days ago, someone asked if they could adopt it. So thankfully she is out of the shelter too, but unfortunately she is more than likely an outside dog who will end up being surrendered back to the shelter by the time she's a year old. But yeah, go listen to the Sadie Story episode if you haven't yet. It is a good one. The H litter of two are from another one of our good old days rescue partners. We haven't worked with them in several years. There's no T or anything. They just mainly worked with another northern rescue in another state, and they pull from an area that I don't really cover. But there was no falling out or anything juicy. You know I would tell you. Anyways, she has two puppies that totally fit the bill when Jenny and Jacqueline said that they need super adorable fluffy puppies. So when we saw them posted needing a northern rescue, we jumped on it. The rescue that they typically work with wasn't going to be able to take them for several weeks, and they didn't have a foster to keep them that long. So they were very happy when I told them that transport was leaving the next week. They were originally being given away on Facebook by the owners when this local rescue grabbed them. Oh, and the owners live right next to one of our vet partners, so they're literally just going to walk down the road to get their dog spayed for free. So that's awesome. The G litter of two are a last minute add-on. Jacqueline is not working during this transport because it's her birthday and she feels like she's entitled to use her vacation days or something ridiculous. So she is letting, and I use the term lightly because Jacqueline is having a hard time turning loose control. She is letting our new friend Margie help with foster coordinating. So Jacqueline was introducing us, which more or less is warning Margie about me and threatening me to behave around Margie because I may or may not be known for stressing out the employees and making them overexert themselves by taking too many animals to the point that they have to go on a vacation halfway across the country to decompress for their birthdays. But I digress. Margie was saying that she is ready to hit the ground running to get all these fosters confirmed so we would know if everyone on my list was going to get to go or if I was going to have to cut anybody. So I half joked, really, I meant it as a joke, to Margie that she didn't need to stress about finding fosters for everyone on my list right away, because as soon as they all had fosters, I would just start asking about adding more. So she should just take her time. Well, I really didn't have anything to add to the list at the time. But then an hour after I said that, Jessica sent me a picture of these two puppies. Like, how could I not? And we had almost enough fosters for my original list, so I hit up Margie to see if I could add these. And I think she was gonna say no. She was a little hesitant. I think I would have eventually won her over, but I think she was gonna say no. But Jacqueline, who was in the group message but wasn't supposed to be reading or replying to any of our texts, she said that she would foster them when she got back if they didn't end up finding fosters because they were just too cute to leave behind. They were originally a litter of four, maybe even more than four, but that's all that were found. Someone's dog in the city limits. Oh, did you guys hear that? I don't know if you could hear that. It was super loud thunder. We're like up in the middle of a hurricane or something. It was super loud thunder. Scared me to death. Anyways, someone's dog in the city limits had puppies. The owners never did anything with them, so they were just wandering in and out of the street until someone else eventually called animal control about them. By the time that animal control got out there, two of them had been hit by a car and were killed. So these two were all that were left and still alive. I believe that animal control told the owners that they could have the puppies back, but that they'd be getting fined or they could surrender them and not be charged. So that's how we got them so quickly. Usually there would be a 5-day hold. Oh, and Margie did great. I didn't even have to bully her. And Jacqueline eventually stopped checking her phone. And I think she's enjoying her vacation. The K litter of two were found on the side of the road. Someone sent us a picture of them and asked if we could take them. When we told her yes, she went back to get them and they were gone. Then the next day, we got a message on the B2Cast page that a different person had found them and picked them up and needed us to take them. She was going to keep them for a few days for us because our September 6th transport was about to leave and we didn't have any open fosters then. So Jess texted her a few days later, right before the other hurricane, not this hurricane, the other hurricane hit, and she said she was ready to take them, but the lady said that she would bring them to her the next day. So Jess texted her that next day to get them, and she said she had actually taken them to a friend's house because she had a better setup for them. When Jessica got there to pick them up, the better setup was a wire pen with a huge hole in it, so they were just wandering around the property. They had cuddled up together underneath an old bookshelf on a teeny tiny porch in the pouring rain. I don't even think this should count as a porch. There was almost zero roof on it. So they were soaking wet because it had been raining nonstop for over 12 hours. They were so happy when they got to Jess's. She has a video. I'll try to remember to post it. It's of them eating food for the first time and their little tails were wagging so fast. They were so relieved to be fed and dry. The R litter of two, our owner surrenders, and honestly I really debated telling this part of their story, but you know this podcast is all about honesty and transparency. The mama of these puppies is a purebred blue heeler, and the dad is purebred hanging tree dog. Now, I'm about 99% sure that absolutely none of you have ever heard of this breed before. If you have, I would love to know. Put it in the comments or something if you have heard of this before, because I had never heard of this. I thought it was a typo until he said it in a second text. And then I was like, that's an oddly specific typo to have twice. So then I looked it up. The hanging tree cow dog is a breed created by Gary Erickson and his son Chalk, and it was named after his ranch, the Hanging Tree Ranch in Idaho in 1980. Now, I think I read literally every single Google article about this ranch and this breed, and I cannot find anywhere that it says where this ranch got its name or what it's named after. But let's be honest, there is a very good probability that it has racist ties. So I don't think that that's something that they would just proudly share on their websites in this day and age. So I was on the fence about sharing this because that could definitely be triggering to hear for a lot of people. But since they were in Idaho and not Alabama, I'm going to hope that the hanging trees were for the bandits out west that the farmers caught stealing cattle or something. Anyways, let me tell you about this breed because it is pretty interesting. They were designed to be the best ranch dogs in the world. They are 3/8 border collie for their herding instinct and intelligence, 1/8 Catahoula for their toughness and slick coat, 1/4 Kelpie for their endurance, herding instinct, and short hair, and 1/4 Australian Shepherd. Actually, the Australian Shepherd was named Hanging Tree Black Bear, and he was just a super dog with, they said, courage and ability to handle any kind of cattle. So they wanted the puppies to have his genes too because he was just a great dog. So it sounds like these are going to be great city dogs. Anyways, because these puppies are not 100% hanging tree dogs, just their father was quote-unquote purebred hanging tree dog, these dogs are not technically considered hanging tree dogs. They specifically state that not every dog that is a mix of these breeds is a hanging tree dog. I'm so sick of saying hanging tree dogs. All hanging tree dogs trace back to Gary's original dogs, and if a dog isn't a full descendant of Gary's dogs, it's not considered a hanging tree cow dog. You have to do a DNA test before they will agree to register your dog as a hanging tree cow dog officially. But from everything that I've read, which, I mean, it's not like they're going to publish bad things about them, but it seems like the creator, Gary, and his son, Chalk, were really good guys. They ended up leaving Idaho and moving to Oklahoma in 1994. They settled on an 800-acre farm. That's wild. Chalk, Erickson, the son, he was a senior agent with the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics, and he was killed in the line of duty in 2005. That's terrible. Gary passed away in 2022 at the age of 82. And then it says, the hanging tree cow dogs they created, however, will continue to carry on their legacies, which I hope are good legacies. I hope this is not some racist ranch that we are just still breeding their dogs for them. Anyways, more specifically for this litter, the owner had them bred because he owns a large farm, not 800 acres though, and he wanted a working dog. He doesn't own the dad, the purebred hanging tree cow dog, but the mom was his dog and she died. He didn't tell me how or when, but he had 3 puppies from the litter, and he told me I could have 2 of the 3 because he needed one for his farm. So you know, it physically kills me to leave a litter mate behind, but these are actually one of the few litters that I think might be happy being working dogs instead of laid up on y'all's fancy couches in your fancy homes. But they are very smart dogs, so they should be very easy to train. Okay, the W litter of 3. Oh man. Okay, the W litter is actually a litter of 2 and a family friend. The litter of 2 was actually a litter of 9. This litter was supposed to go last week on the September 20th candy transport, but they broke with Parvo earlier this month. Unfortunately, and I think the owners meant well, but this is just why we absolutely cannot take a risk mixing litters. Their mama dog had the 9 puppies, and when they were about 6 weeks old, the owners found another stray puppy several weeks older than theirs. It was just wandering in their carport. So they didn't think twice bringing it in and throwing it in with their litter of 9. They had no way of knowing that it must have just gotten over parvo because it was still shedding the virus, so it was still contagious. And it ended up giving it to their litter of nine. And one by one, seven of the nine puppies died. When we got them, there were only four still alive. Two died shortly after we got them, despite throwing the daggum book at them. We gave them everything we had to treat parvo. The surviving two and the friend are doing very well now, and the mama and daddy dog never broke with it, so they will be getting spayed and neutered, but they still have seven other dogs besides these two adults in their home, so I'm sure they are going to be calling us again. The T litter of five are from Jessica, so you know this is going to be a lame story. I'm sorry to whoever is fostering them. She said, quote, "The puppies are just owner surrenders from a lady whose dog had puppies. Nothing exciting that I can even slightly come up with, except maybe that they were right down the road from another litter that we lost half of before we were able to get them. So I did try to get my hands on them and into a foster home as fast as possible so that nothing got these." The M litter of five were strays that wandered into someone's carport while she was at work one day. Imagine that. Imagine coming home from work and there are five puppies living in your carport. She is 66 years old, so she immediately messaged us for help, and her husband just passed away. So she said, even though she would love to keep them all, she has no way of taking care of them. She was very happy to keep them for us until transport, though, and she has taken amazing care of them. But she has a very old dog, and I believe he is very ready for these puppies to go. I don't know if these puppies were dumped or if they belonged to someone somewhere down the road and they just wandered until she eventually took them in, but they're definitely not all litter mates. One of them looks like he might be from an older litter and maybe a half sibling, or he could be from a different litter altogether and just happened to see some friends walking down the road and joined them. But they have been together since we found out about them, so we're keeping them as one litter. The C litter of six are owner surrenders. The owner is the ex-husband of one of our rescue partner's co-workers. He lives in an old rundown trailer. There are several strays in the area, and one of the mama dogs decided to move in and live under his trailer. She had a litter last spring, and the local shelter was able to adopt all the puppies out, but the ex-husband never got the mama dog spayed, so surprise, surprise, not at all. She ended up getting pregnant again. So he called his ex-wife because she's the one who helped him get in with the shelter last time. But since they have such an insanely long wait list, they're not even taking any more to be added to the list right now. So she asked our rescue partner for help, and she was so relieved when she realized not only do we not have a waiting list months out, that it's literally going to be 2 weeks and that's all. So she went and got them that day and kept them at her house for like the last 10 or 14 days to make sure that they were all healthy and taken care of. She even took the mama and will be getting her spayed with one of our spay vouchers before taking her back to the ex-husband. And I'm happy that we could help and that this all worked out, but this is always so annoying to me that people like this ex-wife are so stressed out and worried about these puppies and going and getting them and fostering them just to make sure they're okay and that they actually make it on transport. Meanwhile, the owner, and I know he's not technically the owner since the dog just wandered up, but he's the one taking care of them. He hasn't lost a second of sleep worrying about any of this. Just dumps it on his ex-wife to handle, doesn't make a single call to any shelters, any rescues, didn't post him on Facebook, nothing. I'm sure if she would have said, no, I'm not helping you, he would have just left all the puppies in his yard to grow up or get run over or eaten. But the ex-wife is working her butt off to make sure they're safe and they're not even her responsibility. So frustrating. The B litter of six are owner surrenders. They were posted on Facebook as free to a good home, so we snatched them up before they fell into the wrong hands. The owners were very excited when we told them not only would we take all of their puppies and give them the best homes, but their mama dog and daddy dog would be spayed and neutered for free so that they never have to go through this again. As for the cats, Zamboni was found outside an elementary school. I am betting either he was inside someone's engine and jumped out when they were in the school drop-off line, or some little kid brought their kitten to school and just let it go before walking into the building. Either way, one of the teachers saw it and called the shelter in town so that they would take it before it got ran over during pickup hours. And the shelter in that town that is legally required to take animals in that town said, "We can't take it, just call B2CAS." And we are several towns away, but whatever, it's so cute. We were happy to take it. The D litter of two are hopefully a litter of two by the time you're hearing this. Dr. Burton is still on the fence about letting one of them go because he's just finishing up antibiotics, but the other one is going for sure. He's wild and doing great. One of our fosters called us and said her teenage daughter was just bawling and squalling on the phone with her about two tiny kittens, quote, tiny kittens, on the side of the road, and she just couldn't leave them. We told her we would absolutely take them and assumed, based on the tiny part, that they needed to go to our bottle feeder foster. So we got them hooked up with each other, and later that day, our bottle feeder foster called us and asked why we had her taking 8-week-old kittens that absolutely did not need a bottle. She was happy to take care of them, though, for a couple weeks because they were super sick with upper respiratory infections. We actually weren't sure if the one who may or may not be staying back would even pull through and live, but he is doing a million times better now. The J litter of two are also from the shelter that I was recently unbanned from. They have kittens coming out their ears right now, and they have a super long waiting list of kittens to even get into the shelter. So they are very thankful that we are taking this litter so that a kennel will open up and they'll be able to take another larger litter. This shelter is also a kill shelter, but they try very, very, very hard to foster, adopt out, or send animals to rescues before resorting to euthanasia. So we are happy to be able to help them keep animals moving in and out. And with that, that's all the stories. I think this episode is even longer than last week's. I don't know what my problem is lately. I try to get y'all in and out in 10 minutes, but clearly I have the gift of gab. Anyways, I can't remember what exactly it was that I'm supposed to start telling you guys to do. So if you remember what it is, go ahead and do it. But I did realize for the first time ever that some of you have been leaving me reviews on Apple Podcasts. I had no idea that that was a thing until last week because I'm on Spotify. I don't get on Apple Podcasts. I can't even tell you guys how happy that made me reading your reviews. It means so much to me that not only do you listen to me complain every episode and laugh at my own jokes, but you take the time out of your day to say nice things about it. You people are just so wonderful, and I'm so thankful for everything that you do for me and my critters. You guys are the best. So keep saying nice things about me. Also, after this transport, we only have 3 more transports in 2024. 3. That's not even a handful. We need to make sure they are all packed to the brim to save as many lives as possible. So make sure you sign up to foster and you can get your puppy fix in too before we end up closing for the year. The next one is October 13th, and then we have one the beginning of November and one the end of November, and that's it, baby. Let me know if you need help signing up and we will make it happen. It's a rough life, but someone's got to do it.